welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Dee McGrail.
And I'm Laura Mangone.
And Rob Bell from Ecuador is on the line.
Rob Bell, join us. All right.
Hi, everybody.
So anyway, hey, what's going on?
This is our third attempt.
Deirdre was telling us about her short-lived position at, go ahead, Dee.
So Rob, I got an executive chef position at an assisted living facility in Pennsylvania. I will not say where, okay?
Okay.
During my audition day, which was an 8-hour shift, I noticed that nobody in the kitchen was wearing a mask. So, these people have been in a tough situation. They just had to fire a chef because he came to work high. Okay, so you can imagine. And they've had a tough time with a couple of employees. So, you know, I wanted to be sure on many levels that I was doing the right thing. So I requested a special meeting with the GMs, expressed my concerns about the masks, told them that I would have to crack down on the non-mask wearing people, and that they were not going to be happy about it. Nobody likes change. Nobody likes when a new chef comes in. They're all like suspicious that they're, you know, how's she going to be? And I have to come in, and the first thing I have to do is enforce this. That does not.
But they were supportive of
that,
right?
They were totally supportive. Totally supportive in theory.
Until
I start working, and I explain to each one of them that, you know, I know this is difficult, and there's nobody that hates these masks more than I do. I get a tension headache from them. It's hot. It's stifling. It's awful. I did not sign up to be a nurse. I signed up to be a chef, but this is my reality, okay? And we have to do it. We're doing it for the residents. We're doing it for ourselves. Apparently, that wasn't enough. Okay, because some people would wear the masks. I noticed that one in particular he would have it on for a while and then he'd take it off around his neck, to the point where I said to him, you got to get mask back on, and he did. And then he took it off again, and I got in his face, well, 6 feet away from his face. And I said to him, cross the line. I'm standing over the line, and I leaned in, you know, Laura, where you put the food up with the hot thing. And I put my face in there, and I go, dude, over the nose now. Okay, so I think that was pretty clear, right?
Yeah. It's pretty clear.
Well, what do you know? The next day, he was doing it again. So I thought, now, mind you, this is one of the guys that they want to fire. But the only reason they don't fire him is because they have two they want to fire. The two bad eggs. The two worst mask offenders, okay? But they're not ready to do it because they don't have anybody in line. Even though they've had an ad on Indeed and ZipRecruiter for weeks, Laura. And guess why?
Not happening.
Everyone's on unemployment, and they don't want to go back to work.
And making a shitload of money.
So it's like, and then they have a traveling chef. The big honcho traveling chef comes in. And he's sitting, I had a day in the office with him. The whole day was in the office, the 4-foot by 6-foot office. And about 5 minutes in, I said, you know what? I'm really sorry, rock star, big chef with the company, but I'm gonna have to ask you to put your mask on. Okay, so the problem is systemic. Even the GMs sometimes don't have them on. It's a systemic problem that I'm not gonna be able to fix.
And no.
I am not going back there.
I don't think you should. I think you have complete grounds for, look, you're not following health practices during a pandemic. You would think you would have a little bit more concern about your employees and your residents. It's an assisted living facility.
If one employee gets it, you know, they take temperature checks before we come in, right? But what if you're asymptomatic? They found on the ship or the Navy vessel that had like a 1,000 cases, 60% were asymptomatic.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
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 60%. So And then I was starting to think that maybe I'm just this crazy liberal who, you know, lives in fear. And I came home, you know, and I was watching the news and I was listening to some really smart people. And I thought, you know what? This is not me being crazy.
No, it's not. This is me being smart. And, you know, even with the testing, you're only healthy for the one day that they do the test.
Right.
You could walk out of the testing facility, come in contact with someone, and bam, be asymptomatic for the next 2 weeks and infecting people. And
right. And you are contagious before the fever, by the way. You know, yeah. So it's like temperature taking, that's only going to help eliminate some transmission.
For every person that keeps saying this is bullshit, this is a political move, this is everybody's going crazy. Tell that to the over 100,000 people that just died in the last 2 months.
Right. And Fauci has even said recently that, you know, the thing that gets me or what's so scary about this is that in my lifetime, when we've seen other viruses that were contagious, that traveled the world, it took 6 months to a year. This one took 1 month to get become worldwide.
Yeah.
So,
and apparently we're supposed to be, they keep talking about bracing, although admittedly I have not been watching the news, very disturbing, but you know, they're saying there's another round coming.
Well, of course there is. I mean, Americans are not wearing masks.
So Rob, what's happening in Ecuador? What's your situation? Are you still in lockdown?
Ecuador has taken it very seriously. I mean, I think they have like 100 new cases a day in the whole country. So, you know, it's much better. But, you know, you have to wear a mask outside. Everybody wears masks. And, you know, like, there's like a mall. All the stores in the mall are closed. The only things that are open are the bank. There's two banks, and they're both open. Huge 6-foot line, you know, people in line, you know, going out the door.
Are food stores open?
And then there's the supermarket open. And then all the other stores are closed.
Right.
And when you come, when you walk up to the entrance to the mall, they shoot a gun into your head to take your temperature.
Right.
And then they spray your feet. And then when you get to the supermarket, they shoot your gun again. Like you just got into the mall, so they really don't need to take your temperature again, but they take your temperature again with the gun, and then they spray your hands with the antiseptic.
Wow.
And then if you want to take there's another guy, and if you want to take a cart because you're going to buy stuff, the guy comes over and he totally sprays down the whole cart for you, where you hold your hands and on the edges of it and everything like that. They spray it again.
Wow. That's more than what's happening here.
Yeah,
in Ecuador. Is handling it better than
third world country.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah,
and everybody takes it seriously. You know, nobody wants to get sick.
Well, I did, and just to finish up because it is a food show. But I did, when I spoke with the person from the Board of Health, when I was getting advice as to how to handle this, and he sent me some documentation to my email. Later that day, someone from the Board of Health called me and said, hey, you know, one of my colleagues told me that you're working at an assisted living facility in the kitchen as a chef, and they're not wearing masks.
They want the name?
They wanted the name.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'm sorry. He must have misunderstood. I'm about to start working there. So no, I can't give you the name of the facility, but just be assured that now that I'm going to be working there, that's going to be over. You know, good. Of course I wasn't going to give the name, but,
right.
You know, but what freaks me out is if this is happening, Laura, if this is happening.
I don't know, Deidre, I'm now thinking, should this be something you should be reporting? I don't know.
I'm going to have to sit with that a little bit.
Yeah,
especially
that's a moral question.
Assisted living where you have elderly people, you know.
It is a moral question. They did say that the chances of giving this to a resident based on a food handler, like for example, much bigger chance of giving it to a resident with face-to-face contact versus food handling. And the woman told me the studies now indicate, Rob, could you put it on your face? The studies, not your best foot. The studies now indicate that the likelihood of transmission with a food handler to a customer is very slight. But she said, things are changing with this every day. And the fact that you're in assisted living, I would err on the side of caution.
Of course.
Absolutely. And even though it's slight, it's reduced, it's still a possibility. It's still there.
These poor people. And let me tell you this.
Touching utensils, touching a glass, touching a tray. The possibility is still there. Because I know, as well as you know, not in my establishment and not in any that you've been in, but, people think rubber gloves are like the be-all, end-all, which they are not. And people don't change their gloves. And the gloves are protecting themselves. They're not protecting anyone else.
Right. The it's the improper use of the PPE. That's where people think that because they have a mask on and it's below their nose, that's improper. It's not good. If you're not changing your gloves frequently, that's improper use. So
touching your mask constantly, like for some people, I think maybe it is a deterrent. Maybe it is almost better if they don't have a mask on, if they're maintaining distance, because they're touching it constantly.
Right. So basically, Rob, I'm getting out of
the restaurant industry.
And I'm going to become a nanny.
Vamos a la playa.
Vamos a la playa? Okay.
Rob, you're in a meeting.
I'm in a meeting, but we're going to the beach. And we only have, here in Ecuador, you can only drive your car one day a week.
Really? Why?
Today's the day. Because of COVID. Because of 19. They don't want cars. Can you imagine the seriousness that they take this year?
You sound like you're in China, for fuck's sake.
I know.
Because they hose you down. Do they hose you down in the middle of the street? I mean, come on.
Practically. They used to actually, I think in the cities where they have the open markets, you actually have to walk through a plastic thing and you get sprayed all over your body.
Oh my God, it's like the movie. What's that movie with Cher?
I'm not doing that, by the way. Because it's like bleach. They're spraying bleach all over you.
That's like China, man.
It's crazy. It's alcohol, she said, my girlfriend says. But I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? I'm not that desperate to go into the market,
That's insane. So anywho, I'm out of the food business. I'm officially a former chef.
Well, we'll see how long that lasts. When you're now going to be taking care of children, you may come running back screaming.
I know. It might only last a year. And the one prospect I have, a woman who wants to hire me to be her nanny in the fall, a cardiologist and, a really together lady. The kids are, get ready for this. The kids are 5, 4, and 2.
Wow. All right. That might be challenging. You might be running back to the restaurant.
I know. But
you're looking at Boston Chicken and saying this is better than.
But you know what? The way I'm looking at it, if it's not for me, I can do it for a year until my industry gets back to normal. It might be a temporary thing. I might decide that this is a career change for me. It might not be temporary. But I have in recent years, because I'm 55 years old, and I've wondered recently, how long am I going to be able to do this? I mean, my hip, I've got sciatica, I've got tendonitis, I'm old. And how am I going to do this when I'm 65?
It is very taxing. Mario and I, every single day, while we're in good shape, every single day we wake up, I have a hip that's really bad and probably has to be replaced. He has a knee, he has a back, he has, it's very, very hard, especially catering, full service catering, where we're moving tables and setting up kitchens and moving ovens. And it is extremely hard on your body. It's not for the weak.
I also, when you say hip stuff, like, I'm worried that I'm going to have a hip replacement, because not only have I done this career for so long, but I've also been working as a fitness instructor, and I'm concerned that this thing in my hip is like, it's going to be replaced.
Well, you've noticed I haven't been in your classes in the past 2 weeks because my hip has been screaming, and I just can't. I'm actually waiting to see if my orthopedic surgeon's office will be open, because I think it's to the point where it's really uncomfortable. I'm taking
Advil. What about vitamin D? Have you tried that?
I've been taking vitamin D since I'm 20 years old.
Yeah.
Why?
It helps my knees, a little bit of arthritis.
I had three knee surgeries. The first surgery was over 15 years ago, and at that point, he told me my hip was almost bone on bone. So, long time ago. Yeah, I have basically treated my body like a rental car, going to turn it in completely battered and bruised. So, we'll see.
But, Laura,
When we come back,
I have some. We are going to talk about food, not just food industry. I have some interesting, I got to wrap it up, but I have a couple of interesting recipes to share with you when we get back.
I'm going to have to leave. I'll have to catch you next week, guys, because we're going to the beach.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
The Home Service Club sponsors this paid advertisement. Attention homeowners. Broken AC? Water heater? Pool pump? Fridge on the fritz? You need home warranty coverage from the Home Service Club. HSC provides coverage for up to 47 different appliances and systems in your home for around $1 a day, backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote and get your first month free, plus $75 off your first year. 800-465-9181. 800-465-9181. That's 800-465-9181.
And welcome back to Food for Thought.
We're back.
So we're back.
I was hoping Rob was, we were going to have some food conversation with Rob. Not
I know.
About his, well, I guess, his beach schedule.
He's got to go to the beach. Must be nice.
And why do you want to get on the show? Why did you want to be on a segment if you're telling us you're going to the beach?
Well, honestly, originally I had made it for 10:30, and because I pushed it back, okay. I think that's why it interfered with his schedule.
But, yeah, I'm totally jealous. Although Mario and I, we just celebrated our 36th wedding anniversary.
Wow, happy anniversary.
And we went down, thank you, we went down to the beach for the day, and it was lovely. Just the two of us.
Where'd you go?
We went to Belmore because it's just straight out. It's close. And we've sort of, we sit towards the end of the beach where there's not a lot of people. And the water was really cold, but it felt really good. And there's a really great fish market that whenever we go down there, we go to this fish market. They have a beautiful dock. It's actually on the Shark River, which is right behind Belmore. And so my good friend Ed and JP, who I grew up with, met us and brought a table and chairs, and we had like a fabulous tailgate in the parking lot of Klein Seafood.
Oh, wow. Really nice
for lunch. Yeah, it was awesome.
So what did you have? So food topic.
Yeah. So Eddie's mom, who is 92, has been quarantining with him and JP, and she came along to have lunch with us, and Ed and his mom both had a lobster roll, which looked really good. It was chock full of lobster, and it was more spread out. It wasn't like the roll was sort of spread open on the bottom. It was almost like open face and delicious. I had fish tacos that I was assuming it was just gonna be small little pieces of fish. And I know they use cod or haddock because I've had it there in the past. But in the past I've had small little chunks of fish. This was a giant fillet that was like 6 inches by 2 inches, almost like a dollar bill on each taco. It was fabulous with a delicious Asian slaw on it. And we got a side of coleslaw. Mario got crab cakes. It was his intention to get crab cakes over greens, over a salad, but they had just run out of greens, so he had it over roasted vegetables. Two beautiful crab cakes over roasted vegetables, delicious. And JP had fish and chips, you know, a big, beautiful hunk of fresh cod. And waffle chips, you know, waffle fries. It was lovely. It was not cheap. We each called and placed our takeout order separately. And we had two drinks and Mario's crab cakes and my fish tacos was almost $50. So not cheap.
Not cheap. Lunch,
totally fresh fish. I love, they have a seafood market there also. The freshest, most delicious fish. We've eaten there many, many times. They even had cocktails to go, but we were like going to go back to the beach and we thought, you know what, let's wait to have a drink later. But it was lovely. I highly recommend Klein Seafood in Belmore. It's right on the Shark River. They have a beautiful deck out back.
That's pretty big. Isn't it?
It's literally 40 minutes from us. So, you know, to go have a nice day on the beach is not a big deal anymore. It used to be, you know, when we lived up in Hunterdon County, it was a whole day affair, but it was lovely. It was really lovely. So and today my day is full of cooking for Uncle Joe. So I'm packing up the freezer with all of the foods that I cook for him on a regular basis. Making tortellini with my grandmother's pesto, which is the pesto I've told you in the past has cream cheese in it, and it's more parsley than basil. It's delicious.
Right.
I'm making pasta fagioli, which I'm going to put almost more zucchini in it than white beans. So it's going to be very vegetable-y.
Yeah, because my pasta fagioli is always very beany.
I've been making it lately, and I don't know if it's because, you know, Annie's kids are here and they really are very health conscious, and I'm just trying to pump up the vegetables and everything. So I saute a couple, I'm going to make a big batch, but I'm going to saute a couple of onions. I'm going to throw in minced garlic. I'm going to throw in diced zucchini and quite a bit. Like for the batch that I'm making, I'm probably going to put like 6 zucchini in it.
Right.
And I cook that down a little bit. And then I defrost a small container of my homemade sauce that I always have in the freezer, and I put that in. And I put in a couple of cans of white beans, cannelli beans. And I take my potato masher and mash up, you know, mash almost half of it. So the beans are not only whole beans, but crushed beans. So it's thickening the sauce. Thicker.
Yeah.
And then what I've been making the pasta I've been doing it with lately, because I really do like, I like when the pasta gets enveloped in the sauce. I like the sauce and the vegetables going inside the pasta. I haven't been using, I used to use rotini, and then I used to use rigatoni, but then it was almost too pasta-y for me. I like more vegetable and bean than pasta.
Yeah.
So what I've been getting is there's this really nice, you know, in the grocery store, they have Ronzoni and Barilla and all those blue packaged pastas, dry pastas. I like to purchase the pastas that are in the clear bags that are from Italy. They're imported from Italy, and they're much more interesting shapes and sizes. So what they have is not ditalini, but ditali. So it's a big ditalini. And it's literally what my grandmother used to use when she would make minestrone. And it's almost in between a ditalini and a rigatoni. It's a right. Very nice size pasta, big enough that a cannelli bean and a piece of zucchini would like get on the inside of it.
Yeah.
So I use that and I cook that in it, and or I cook that separately and throw that in. And I make it kind of soupy because I want it to cook down a little bit. And then I put a ton of Parmigiano Reggiano cheese in it, and it's delicious.
Now I have a couple of comments on that.
Uh-huh.
And that is my philosophy. I'm not a big pasta person. I actually, uh-huh. I prefer, if I am going to eat pasta or any kind of noodle, I probably would prefer like udon noodles over traditional pasta. But with all of the hundreds of different shapes and sizes of pastas and types of pastas, I think it's more about what, it's not only a visually aesthetic, you know, decision, but it's also the ratio of pasta to sauce to whatever else is incorporated. So
I totally agree.
With the ditali is what you called it?
It's called ditali. It's not ditalini, it's ditali.
Italy. So that particular pasta will actually allow a bean or a vegetable to get inside of it. And it sort of changes the experience. And I think, that's why we have all of these different shapes, because it changes the experience. Also, I started, not that I make pasta fagioli very often, but about 10 years ago, I started just doing the rinds, the Parmesan rinds, as opposed to the shredded. So what's your feeling on rinds versus?
Well, I wish my mother was here to hear this conversation. Hopefully she's listening from above, because my grandfather in Brooklyn would travel. He, like most of our grandparents, would go to different stores for different items. He would never go to one store. So he would go and get his bread from one place. He would get his vegetables from another. He would get his seafood. He would get his Parmesan. And he would buy a hunk of Parmigiano, which has always been expensive because it's the king of cheese. It's the king of Parmesan cheese. He would buy a big hunk of it. And I would go in and take a big old wedge, even when I was like 5 years old, and eat it. And my grandfather apparently used to complain to my mother and say, Adelaide, Addie, she's eating. Look, she's 5 years old. She's taking, you know, $15 worth of cheese for like a little snack.
Right.
And my smart ass response was, well, if he doesn't want me to eat it, he shouldn't buy it.
Right.
So, in addition, I'll be honest. I like the rind as much as I like the cheese itself. And it's basically wax on the outside. It's just the flavor of it.
And yeah.
Oh my gosh, my grandmother,
I like.
We would always use that rind in everything. It would be shredded in a salad, it would be in a soup, and it would get gummy and mushy, and we used to fight over who was going to get the piece of rind in the minestrone or in the
soup. I love that. I thought I was crazy, but I love when I cook a soup with the rind and then take that rind out that when it gets softened, because it never just disintegrates.
No, it gets mushy and delicious.
Oh, I love it.
So good. So good. Absolutely love it. Love it. I'll be having some of that tonight because I've got rinds and I'm going to throw them in there.
You got
it
rinds.
Really does change. And it does change. You can at ShopRite, you can just buy a bag of rinds, Parmesan rinds.
Yes. And people are now hip to rinds, where it didn't always used to be that way. It was like your Italian grandmother might know, but a lot of people didn't know that the rinds are awesome. And now they sell the rinds. I think that's so fun that they sell them now. And so it's almost like I almost want to experiment. Like, I wonder what the rinds would be like if you deep fried them. Have you ever done that?
I haven't. And I have a feeling it wouldn't soften the same way. I don't know. That's a good...
I don't know. Try
that out. I have no idea.
Or even if you took the
rind. I wouldn't
rind
be too impatient. I would be eating them before I even got it near any breading or frying or anything.
But get this, Laura. What if you took the rinds and you kind of julienned them and deep fried them so they were thinner and they were like crisp? I'll bet you it's good. I think the next time we're in person, you're going to have to bring some.
Okay, I will do that. And I don't do a lot of frying at my house, but I can take them to the restaurant and put them in the fry later.
There you go.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds really good.
So I have, speaking of, how much time do we have in this segment?
4 minutes more.
4 minutes. Okay, we have enough to talk about this. So I have a couple of interesting recipes that I wanted to share you from New York Times Cooking. Years ago, I made for a client at a wedding. They wanted a Spanish tortilla. So the egg, you know, it's like...
it's almost like a crepe, right?
Well, no, it's almost like a frittata. It's the egg. It's like an egg cake. Okay. They cooked in a cast iron skillet that's got potatoes lining bottom, so that when you unmold it, the potatoes are on top and the egg and onion mixture is on the bottom. And I love that they chose this because it's not, you know, I had never heard of it. So I love the concept, but it wasn't something that I was necessarily going to incorporate in my own cooking or for clients or anything like that, but it was really good. So I'm reading this New York Times recipe, and it's called Ferran Adria's, Ferran, I don't know if it's a chef or what, potato chip omelet. And this recipe adapted from the cookbook, The Family Meal Home Cooking with Ferran Adria, is a study in simplicity. The chef of El Bulli, the famous Spanish restaurant, Mr. Adria created an omelet reminiscent of a Spanish tortilla that comes together in minutes using only eggs, salted potato chips, and olive oil.
Wow.
So that intrigued me.
Tell us quickly. That sounds great.
So you crack the eggs, you know, you whisk the eggs, you add oil to a skillet, you add chips to the eggs, you just toss them, you fold them so that they don't get all broken. Right. Let it soak for about a minute. You pour the mixture into a skillet. And that's it. You know, you cook it, and then when it's set, and it's supposed to be great. I'm going to try this.
I think I'm going to try it too. That sounds delicious.
Okay, so
I might have to make it with pita chips. We have a ton of pita chips in our house right now.
Yeah, like, so let's just use
why
them
not
up,
something know? It would soak up a little bit. It would be a little bit crunchy in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to have that for lunch today.
Another one that I saw, and I know we're running out of time. When we come back, Laura, just so you know, I had a few things to share about Icelandic food.
Okay.
Are you familiar? Of course, it's going to be mostly like, you know, Swedish type stuff, but I wondered about Icelandic cuisine. But this is not Icelandic, obviously, but sweet potatoes with tahini butter.
That sounds delicious.
Doesn't it?
I love tahini and I love sweet potatoes, so that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's sweet potatoes, butter, tahini, lime juice, soy sauce, sesame oil, garlic, and sesame seeds for garnish. Doesn't that sound awesome?
That sounds really good. Yes.
This is why I know.
But it sounds almost, it sounds Asian more than Icelandic. Right?
No, I didn't mean to confuse you. Icelandic thing I was going to talk about next segment. This is just another New York Times. This is another New York Times.
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
Recipe. And, you know, I love that there's always things that I've never had before. You know, if you look hard enough, you'll find them. And so anyway, we're running out of time. We're going to talk a little bit about Icelandic foods on next segment and whatever food topics happen to come up.
All right, we'll be back.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that?
I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way.
We'll help you instantly. Call 844-606-8411. That's 844-606-8411.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Welcome back to Food for Thought.
Hey, we're back.
We're back. I wanted to just touch on Icelandic food.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting topic. Now, I would think a lot of fish. I would think a lot of herring and cod.
Right. Yes.
That's the first thing I think of when I think of Iceland is, or right. maybe like gravlax or, you know, Norwegian right. type smoked right. fishes.
Right. I think Norway and Sweden is probably the biggest contributors to that cuisine. The first one that came up was a lamb meat soup. And it's a soup made from the tougher bits of lamb and a variety of Icelandic herbs and vegetables. And most Icelanders eat this during the winter months. Also, something called svio, which is sheep's head. I've never eaten a sheep's head. Have you?
I have eaten part of a sheep's head. I have eaten cheeks from a sheep.
Yes, and what are sheep cheeks like?
It's very much like lamb. Lamb, goat, same consistency, same sinewy, same gamey.
Is it just fatty?
No, not fatty. Very meaty, actually.
Okay.
And big. Bigger than you would suspect.
Right.
And they were, and they were jerked. We were in Jamaica, and they had jerk seasoning on them.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was really good.
Another dish is called pluck fisker, which is another traditional dish. It's a fish stew, and it consists of cod, boiled cod or haddock, with potatoes, either mashed, scrambled, or whole. So it's a very simple dish, and it's just basically fish and potatoes and stock.
That sounds good.
Haro fisker is dried fish jerky. Have you ever had fish jerky?
Well, I have had bacala, and right. You know, not that's hydrated, so that's pretty much, you know, dried fish, unless it's like the one you're talking about is highly seasoned. But I actually love bacala. I know you're supposed to soak it for days, and I know it's super, super salty. But if you cut it really, really thin and eat it with a piece of bread, it is delicious.
Wait, is that before you soak it?
Before I soak it. Whenever I make bacala, I usually make it, as you know, for Christmas Eve for the 7 or 14 fishes dinner. It's pretty right. much the only time I make it all year is when I make it for Christmas Eve. But before I soak it, when I'm cutting it into hunks to put in a bucket to soak, I get the thickest part of it and I slice out, you know, 3 or 4 little slices of it and chomp on it and put it between 2 little pieces of bread or inside a pita that I fold. It's delicious. I mean, it's, wow. You know, obviously super salty, but like jerky, fish jerky.
I love this. I love this because I have never done that.
Oh, well, I do it all the time. It's like my little treat.
This seems to me like something that could be my new favorite thing because it sounds like, you know, and I'm surprised it's not even more common here, fish jerky. Like, yeah. Why can't we buy little bags of fish jerky?
Well, Deirdre, maybe let's not get over to the not so fast on the getting out of the restaurant business. Maybe
I'm out. I'm out.
You know what else? What are we always looking for and we can never find?
What?
Always. What stock are we always looking for?
Fish stock.
Maybe we need to start a new business. Fish
right.
stock and fish jerky.
We're
in the same family for both of them.
Fish stock and fish jerky, because for folks out there who, you know, if you cook, now fish stock is not that hard to make. But unfortunately, it depends on where you shop. You can't always find the bones and the heads. It depends on the grocery store. But it can be challenging, and sometimes you just want something easy. So if you want like a good chicken stock substitution, they have good products out there that are readily right. available for everyone.
Right.
Fish stock, not so much. We talked about this last time, how I had to order from Amazon the Knorr shrimp base.
And that's shrimp, and it's different than just
it's
fish.
It's different. It very much tastes like shrimp. But I have bought, I once bought fish stock from a popular fishmonger, a high-end fishmonger in Princeton.
Yeah.
And I was so excited. I was so excited because it was like $5 for a quart. Tasted like water.
Yeah.
Tasted like water. I thought this is a shame. But anyway.
So I'm making later today. As I said, I'm doing cooking for Uncle Joe, and I have I got some really beautiful tuna steaks that I'm going to put some Asian seasoning on. But I also have what I keep in his repertoire on a regular basis is I make him salmon, and he likes it with a dill sauce. And okay. The dill sauce that I make is, it's almost part velouté, part bechamel. So I'll make a roux, but I won't only use milk. I'll use half milk and half broth. And because it's salmon, I bought clam juice. You know, I don't even think the shrimp one would be appropriate. So I use clam juice.
Well, clam juice I think clam juice is always appropriate any for any kind of substitution for like a fish base. I love a nice.
Well, that's what I always use, but I really would like a true fish base, and I think we should start researching, getting into the fish base business.
Hey, anything is possible.
We can call it something fishy.
That's right. There's something fishy. Now, one more. I don't know how many more I have, but another, still on the fish topic, another food of Iceland is hakari, which is a fermented shark. Consisting of Greenland shark or other sleeper sharks. Back in the days, the shark meat was buried underground in the sand for 3 months and later hung up for another 3 or 4 months to dry. Nowadays, the meat is being cut up and put into boxes for 6 to 9 weeks in order to ferment and later for 3 or 4 months. Have you ever had fermented shark?
Is it packed in salt or it's just the fish?
I'm trying to look here.
I wonder if it's seasoned like a grovlox you can leave for months.
Right.
You know, if you salt it or sugar it because it's being preserved from the outside in and it's kind of like a jerky, you can leave that for months. But I'm curious if there's any seasoning on that.
This is not actually a recipe, so it's more like an article describing things. So okay. I would imagine there's got to be salt involved, but I don't know.
Right.
And how about this? Krutspanger. It's sour rammed testicles.
All righty.
Okay.
Have you ever had testicles?
I have not. Have you?
I have. I have had Denver, Colorado, I had Rocky Mountain oysters, they're called. And they are beef testicles, and they serve them at bars often. They were fried, so they were dredged, battered, and fried. And they were served in a little basket with brown gravy on it. It was almost like poutine. It was like fried with gravy on it.
And these were sheep's testicles?
No, beef.
And beef, cow testicles. Yeah. And were they good?
I mean, they were pretty good because they were fried and they had gravy on them. And like, you know, I cut them in half. Other people were like, you know, the big thing is you just pop one in your mouth. I couldn't do that. I cut it in half and it was not terrible. It did taste, you know, a little gamey, but hello, you could fry and put gravy on a piece of cardboard and I'd probably love it.
Right. Anything fried.
Yeah. Fried gravy. Yes. I'm in. Don't have it very often. Have it once a year, but yep, I'm in.
Okay. This one is, it says, don't bring cracker. I'm starving, so I'm having a cracker with artichoke.
Okay.
Don't forget brennivín. This is a national liquor of Iceland. It's basically a schnapps. Brennivín is made from a fermented grain or potato mash and flavored with caraway.
Oh, you know what? And I have had that because my mom and my aunt spent quite a bit of time in Iceland. And they brought liquor home. And I was just going to ask, is it something that tastes like fennel or caraway? Because, yep, I tasted it. And what is it called? I don't even remember the name of it.
It's called brennivín. They said it resembles Scandinavian akvavit.
Brennivín. Yum.
Yeah.
I love caraway. I love fennel. I love that.
Yeah, I'd like to try it.
I'll see if I can find us some.
Skyr. The iconic yogurt of Iceland is called Skyr, and you can find it everywhere. It's become so popular now, it's even being exported to other countries. Have you ever heard of this?
I haven't, but I think the brand I don't know how to say it, Siggy's. I think that might be Icelandic yogurt. And I have some in my refrigerator right now.
Okay.
Yeah, Siggy's. It's from Iceland. It's Icelandic. Yep.
Okay, apparently rye bread is also very popular. And it's usually served as a side dish. I love rye bread.
I do too.
Controversial. There's controversial Icelandic food. Puffin.
Oh, puffin is a fish.
It's a seabird.
It looks like a penguin. They have puffin tours all over Maine, and they're black and white with cute little noses, cute little beaks, and they eat them. That's kind of sad to know.
Why is it sad?
Because they're really cute little guys.
Well,
it's like eating a penguin.
Well, apparently they usually do it smoked, and it has a distinct strong flavor. Whale meat. Have you ever had whale meat?
I have never had whale meat, and I don't know if it's just because you hear about whale blubber. I would think it would be fatty. Here, look how cute a puffin is.
You're showing me a adorable. Yeah, they're kind of too cute to eat.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
But so are lambs. You know, they're very cute, but I'm gonna eat them.
And veal.
Yeah, veals. They're very cute, but I mean, well, I actually.
And rabbits, and all those other things we eat.
I know. Let's think about it, Laura.
I know. Yep. Yes, we eat all the cute. We eat all the cute things. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, there's actually, they took a picture, they posted a picture on this article of puffin and whale menu. So it's all puffin and whale, if you can imagine that.
Can you see one of the preparations there? I mean, are they anything?
It's hard for me to, I can't really zoom in.
Okay.
Let me see if I can. Oh yeah. Whale pepper steak served with fried vegetables, potato, and pepper sauce. The starter is smoked puffin with fresh salad and raspberry vinegar. Dessert is the skyr, which is that drink.
Right.
I've never even looked into Icelandic cuisine, and I didn't realize it was going to be this interesting. Then it talks about Icelandic Christmas food. Leaf bread, creamy langoustine soup, smoked lamb, hanjikot, who knows what that is, marinated herring, and rice pudding.
Yum.
So it sounds like weird stuff, but like cool, you know?
These all sound delicious. Okay, we got to put Iceland in. I mean, as I said, my mom and my aunt had been there. I know many people that have gone. Reykjavik specifically, got to put it on the list. Sounds very interesting. Although I'm sure wherever we would go, we would find something fabulous to eat.
I can't wait to try that bacalao just sliced up.
I'm telling you, I do it every single year, and I only do it like when I purchase it, and I'm cutting it all up because I buy a lot of it, and I'm, as you might imagine, I'm making a big vat of it. And I only do it once a year. I take just a couple of little slices while I am select about which one I select. I pick one that's very thick. And I put it between, I wrap it in a fold over a little pita bread on it, or I put it in a little edge of an Italian bread, and it's delicious. And I don't put any condiments or anything on it. It's just, it's super salty. And fishy, it's just like fish jerky and really yummy. I highly recommend it for all you Italians out there or anybody else that's making bacala for Christmas Eve. Take a little slice of that baby before you throw it in the water to reconstitute.
I can't wait.
You won't regret it. So we're running out of time.
We're running out of time, but
yeah.
Is it chewy?
No. It's not chewy.
Crunchy?
It's, No, it's like the inside of a dry piece of, it's not chewy, it's like, it's dry. It's like jerk, it's dried.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can't wait to try this.
I know.
So we're running out of time.
Yep.
So next week, who knows what we're going to talk about, but something food related.
It'll be food related.
maybe a segue from, you know, coronavirus, you know, sort of news issues, and then go into food, but always food involved.
Absolutely.
So thanks for listening, everyone.
And we'll see you then.